Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Hey everyone, it's Adam, and I am back in the closet where I conduct all of my video and podcast interviews. And today, I am so excited to once again be speaking with Mark Summers and be featuring him as part of my new podcast season entitled My Entertainment Idols. As the host of Nickelodeon's Double Dare and Food Network's Unwrapped, Mark has certified himself a place in television history as he helped put these two networks on the map. With a storied career, Mark is bringing it all to the theatrical stage in his new show, The Life and Slimes of Mark Summers at New World Stages, written by Alex Brightman and music by Drew Gasparini. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Adam Rothenberg, and for the past 15 years, I have been going behind the scenes with celebrities from the worlds of film, television, theater, and music on both my entertainment platform, Call Me Adam, and its podcast, Burying It All with Call Me Adam. With over 1,500 interviews under my belt, I make my guests feel comfortable and at ease, which allows them to talk about life behind the curtain. So without further ado, please welcome Mark Summers. Hi, Mark.
How are you, Adam?
How are you?
I'm well. I'm trying to take care of my voice. You know, I'm not used to doing 7 shows a week. And the wear and tear is quite remarkable, quite honestly.
Yes. Well, you do a fantastic job in the show. I'm so happy I got to see it a few weeks ago.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I will do everything I can to help you preserve your voice.
You know, I took voice lessons at one point, and I know I'm speaking from the diaphragm and doing everything right, but I guess 90 minutes of constant conversation wears you down a bit, you know?
Yes, yes. It definitely can have an impact. So I have to start off by saying the show is so much fun. It is filled with a lot of heart. And from the moment I walked into the theater, I was transported back to my childhood of my days watching Double Dare. And I just think it's brilliant how you staged the production as part memoir, part game show. So my first question is, why was it important to create this dichotomy of having the show part memoir, part game show, and infuse the games throughout the production?
Well, you'd have to give the credit to two people, Alex Brightman and Chad Rabinowitz, our director. I had this dream many moons ago, and I was doing Grease at Long Beach Island, New Jersey, and I was playing Vince Fontaine, and that's where I met Drew Gasparini, and we got into a conversation, and then he introduced me to Brightman. You know, this is 11 years ago now, I think, and we just kind of hit it off, and I mentioned one day that I would want to do a one-man show someday, and so I took them out to dinner for a year and a half, and they just asked me questions about show business. And I have endless stories that are around, you know, if you're around long enough, you just meet a lot of people and go through some crazy things. And they were taking copious notes. And after almost 2 years, they handed me a script and said, here's your one-man show. And I went, okay, now what do we do? And they had just done a show at a place called Bloomington's Playwright Project in Bloomington, Indiana. And Chad Rabinowitz ran that theater and directed a lot of stuff. And as they were walking out the door for their final performance, Chad said, if you guys are working on anything else, let me know. And they said, we're doing a one-man show with Mark Summers. And he said, I'll take it, sight unseen. So the next thing I know, I'm in Bloomington, Indiana, doing this show and learning the ropes because I had been a magician and a stand-up comic and hosted a bazillion shows. But doing theater, I hadn't done in 30 years. So it was a learning process, needless to say. And we've come such a long way, and the show has changed dramatically. After Bloomington, we did the Adirondack Theater Festival, and then a little thing called COVID happened, and then we ended up doing this past summer Mount Gretna in Pennsylvania, and then we did Alleyway Theater in Buffalo. And, you know, here we are. The show has grown so tremendously through the vision in so many ways with Chad Rabinowitz with set pieces. But Brightman has written as far as I'm concerned, if there is such a thing, a bulletproof show. And he took my stories and put them in beautiful words, as you heard. And he takes us on a ride where we're having fun, we're laughing, and then it gets pretty darn serious. And the reaction I always like is, wow, I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't expect that. And as you know, it takes you on a ride from one extreme to another, and it apparently seems to be striking a nerve with a lot of folks.
Yes, there's so much in the show that is relatable, and so many things that you talk about. And I've only known Alex as an actor and a singer. I have not known him as a writer. I mean, I knew he was writing things. So this is my first real introduction to him as a writer. And he did, I mean, I will say he did a brilliant job with the show.
Unbelievable. His sense of humor and some of the highlights, the jokes are like, oh my God. And so I read something somebody put online last night about they could hear Alex's voice in my dialogue, which is fascinating because he has such a huge following. You know, two Tony nominations, School of Rock, Beetlejuice. Now he's doing Spamalot and a lot of things coming down the pike. So, you know, he's a superstar, especially in the Broadway world. And, you know, it's fascinating to be connected with these guys.
Yes, they are very talented. And I love, we initially did an interview in 2018, you, me, and Drew. We did it over email when you were presenting Drew Gasparini's show at 54 Below.
Ah.
Yes. So, and that was fantastic. And I just love how you and Drew have stayed together so long. And now here it is with the show at New World Stages. And there's one part of the show I really love how it was set up, and I don't want to give too much away about it, but when you talk about your discovery and struggle and living alongside your OCD, the way that you talked about it was brilliant. And I love how Alex wrote it. So it made me think, literally for weeks, I was thinking, oh my God, I never knew this about him. Not about the OCD, but about how it's presented.
I see. Yeah, you're talking about it. Thoughts.
Yes, yes. And I just thought that was so smart. And it really took me a few weeks to finally determine how it was written. So, I mean, major kudos for that, because it kept me thinking about the show.
It's my favorite part of the show, and I can't give away too much because you know things, and I know things that the people who haven't seen the show don't know, but it's from a performance point of view, it's the heaviest part, but it also is the most fun part for me to do. And I'll tell you, the best compliment I got after opening night, I hadn't seen Alex because he's so busy doing all of his shows. He's doing working on Smash and 17 other things. And they always used to make fun of me about, you know, I was a stand-up comic magician who was trying to act. And after opening night, Bright came up to me and he said, I got to ask you a question. I said, what's that? He said, when did you learn how to act? And I thought, oh, well, I broke down. I thought that was coming from him. It was the best compliment I could ever get. It gets me emotional when I think about it. And I've grown and I'm getting better every night because it is funny when you do it seven times a week, you learn things. Alex taught me something that I, of course, wasn't aware of. I've taken acting lessons, but to talk to a guy who does it like he does it, about staying planted on stage. He said, I was moving around too much. And he said, when you plant yourself on stage, it shows authority. And I said, wow, I never knew that. And son of a gun, the next night I did what he told me to do, and there was a whole different feel from my perspective, and I think the show performed better as well. So each night, you know, you get an education. It's fascinating.
Wow. And you did mention, while the part of the show where you talk about your OCD, it's hard and it's most fun. What makes it so hard to talk about for you to relive it each night?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek Behind the Curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Burying It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying...
I'm an emotional ball of jelly, generally, but especially during the show, I am. When my wife was here for 10 days, she saw it three times. It was like so hard to get through because she's so much a part of the program. I don't know. You know, I just, this whole experience of getting the opportunity, you know, the way this whole thing happened when we were playing Buffalo, New York, and one night Steve Edlin, who was the director of the Mrs. Doubtfire tour, came and saw our show. And he came to talk to me afterwards and he said, "Have you ever thought about doing this in New York?" And I said, "Sure, all the time, but I don't know anybody in New York." And he said, "Well, you do now." And he called the Schubert Organization, who called me the next day, put me together with Lisa Dozier Shackett, who's our producer. And I had a meeting with her, and it was during Halloween because I was doing the View Halloween show, and we met afterwards for dinner. And I just thought we were having a preliminary meeting. I had no idea that she wanted to do this. Schubert wanted to do it, and she wanted to do it. And I said, "Well, okay, well, if we do this, when?" And she said, "Well, there's a particular theater that I want. It won't be available until probably July or August." And I said, "Okay, fine." Well, she called me a week later and said, "The theater just came open. Can you do it in February?" And I don't know. Can you do it in February? And so, you know, January 27th, I flew out here. We went into rehearsal January 29th and opened on February 14th. And, you know, people tell me it takes years for this to happen. And although we started writing this thing and talking 11 years ago, the fact that we made this thing happen, we closed September 29th in Buffalo and started rehearsals January 29th in New York. My head was spinning, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Well, that must have also happened because you're a magician. So you made magic happen just like that.
Apparently that has something to do with it. I don't know. But it's a great group of people. And, you know, New World Stages couldn't be nicer. And our stage manager, Kim, is amazing. And I had two assistants on stage who helped me get through some of the stuff. And it's been a great experience. You know, I haven't done TV for all these years. And not everybody plays well with each other all the time. And one assumes, especially if you're doing a cast with 20 or 30 people, that may be the case. But because it's a one-man show, there aren't as many people to get involved with. But it's been a great experience from the day I landed till last night's show. And what I've learned is, if there's a smaller house, a bigger house, or somewhere in the middle, you have to do the same show every night. You cannot be affected by walking out and seeing 22 people less than were there the night before. You just have to deliver the goods. And so it's a education that I'm getting that's fabulous.
That's a great piece of advice for anybody who's performing in a show, to keep the energy up all the time, no matter how many people are out there, because they're there to see you and you want to give them the best show that they paid to come see.
Every time. You cannot hold back, or if you're tired, nobody really cares. You got to go out there and do the show.
Exactly. What do you feel that you have learned about yourself from performing this show that you didn't know living through your experiences?
It's okay to be emotional, and it affects the audience. You know, it's funny, when we started this thing, I said to Alex, if somebody walks into the theater that night and doesn't know who Mark Summers is, it still has to be a great show. And that's what I'm finding. A lot of people don't know who I am, which is fantastic. And I said to Alex when we first started Bloomington, my objective is to see if I can make one person cry. Well, I got on a regular basis every night, there are people crying in that audience. In fact, the first show I ever did in Bloomington, people were crying. So I'm having the best time of my life. I've had some great experiences at Nickelodeon and Food Network and everything in between. But this might be the most exhilarating, exciting experience I've ever had in the entertainment industry.
Wow. That is fantastic. And we have a similar goal. You're trying to make one person cry every night in the audience. And I always try to see if I can make my guests cry with touching upon some emotion that they didn't realize that would come up through the conversation. So we have a similar objective.
Yeah, well, it's true. And I didn't know how emotional I was going to get on stage. But as you relive this stuff, and some of the stuff is pretty heavy, it strikes me. Now, each night is different. I don't know where it's going to hit me. And that's such an interesting ride to take every night. because certain nights when I first talk about my wife, I kind of lose it. And other nights when I'm on my hands and knees straightening fringe on a rug, I lose it. So I can never predict it. And it keeps me on my toes.
That is so interesting to hear that you get emotional in different parts depending on the night. Maybe it has something also to do with the energy of the audience, maybe what happened in your day.
Could be all those things.
Yeah.
You know, at age 72, I'm still learning.
Well, that is great. Hopefully you never stop learning. How do you allow yourself to get messy these days without reverting back to old habits?
Good question. When I got sort of outed on my OCD on live national television when I was hosting a show on Lifetime, I met a doctor, Dr. Eric Hollander, and he got me involved with many sessions at his office initially, but there's something called cognitive behavior therapy. And what it is about retraining your mind to be able to cope with these issues. And, you know, the OCD rule book changes on a daily basis, no matter who you are. And what bothers me today may not bother me tomorrow. And also, OCD shows its way at different people in different ways. So we say, and I've said at the end of the show, I'm not cured and I never will be, but I've learned how to handle things better. And I always say I'm like 82% cured. And I'm able to use the tools that I learned from Dr. Hollander to apply those things that bother me or sort of get in the way of my life. And I'm successful most of the time. And so that's been good.
That's wonderful. It's great that he has given you some tools to help you through, you know, to live alongside it.
100%. I was on medication years ago. I haven't been on medication in probably 20 years now because I've learned how to cope with it. And I didn't like the feeling I had when I was on the medication. I kind of felt lethargic and didn't feel I had the energy. And so I'm glad I'm off the medication, but I'm glad I have the tools to know how to deal with things.
Interesting that you say the OCD presents itself in different ways on different days. And then there's also different days where you said that you experience different emotions at different points throughout the show. So it's almost like you never know what you're going to be feeling on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and it's interesting when I'm backstage and I'm getting ready to come out, I kind of have a conversation with myself saying, you know, I wonder what's going to happen tonight because I can't control it. And I don't know. I guess that's part of the fun of doing a live show.
How do you prepare for the show each night? How do you let go of what has happened of your day? You know, there's different things happen to different people throughout your day as you're going through life. How do you let it all go and get yourself centered for the show?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Here is a behind-the-curtain story I'd like to share with you. For the past 2 years, I have been part of an entrepreneurial community called My Sexy Business. Through one of their most amazing masterminds, Groundwork Brigade, I have been discovering how to have a business that I own and doesn't own me. From strategy and planning, to implementation, to social media and simple tech solutions, I get personal assistance while being in a group setting. Every week is a new adventure that I love being on. I am so passionate about Groundwork Brigade Mastermind that I want everyone to know about it. That's why I decided to become an affiliate for them. If you have dreamed of starting your own business and didn't want to do it alone, come talk to me to see if the My Sexy Business Groundwork Brigade Mastermind community would be your flavor. You can reach me at callmeadamnyc@gmail.com. Welcome back to Bearing It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying.
I learned years ago that the best thing for me are taking long walks. I've taken walks in Tuscany and Umbria where I walked 70 miles in 6 days. I did Portugal not too long ago where we did 60 miles in 5 days. So the minimum I allow myself to walk on a daily basis is 5 miles. And where I'm staying is exactly 2.5 miles from the theater. So when I walk down, I get caught up in the energy of the city and just observe people. And when I get to the theater, it gets me energized. On the same token, at the end of the night, when I walk back home, it calms me down. It's dark outside. There's fewer people. And so the key to me is walking. If I don't get a chance to walk down and back and more during the day, I don't know that I'd even be able to do this.
The power of walking.
Yeah,
it really does make a difference.
For me, it does. And I recommend it to people because it kills two birds with one stone. It gets me mentally prepared, but it also keeps me exercised.
Now, in addition to everything you have gone through, you have also triumphed over cancer.
Yes, sir.
So how do you look at life differently now?
Well, you appreciate it, I guess, for two reasons. One, I started off, I was in chemo for 2 years. I was good for 8 years, came back, I had chemo again, then it came back a year later, and I was in something called immunotherapy that didn't work. So I'm on pills on a daily basis now. And, look, we never know how long we're going to be here. At 72, like a few more years, but who the heck knows? And I just appreciate my family. You're going to break me up here now. Learning about people, discovering new cuisines. And so you appreciate almost everything when you've, the OCD and then the cancer, and then I was in a car crash where I broke every bone in my face. And I'm kind of the luckiest man in the world that I've been able to overcome some of these obstacles. And for those of you who are not aware of Life and Slimes, it is about overcoming obstacles and talking about the fact that some people hit a wall and they don't know how to go around it or over it or around it, through it. And then they retreat and pretty much don't enjoy their day-to-day lives. And I figured out a way to go through that wall. Sometimes it's not as easy as I want it to be, and it takes longer than you want it to happen, but it's a learning experience. And I can't imagine getting up every day and hating my job. I always felt that I've never worked a day in my life. I've just had the best time, even from the early days of doing stand-up comedy and doing magic shows for kids or whatever. It's all been fun. I can't believe that I get paid to do what I do,
You're very lucky. You do it very well. I have been a fan of yours since Double Dare. And when you had your talk show, Biggs and Summers, I used to watch that. So,
wow, you've been around for a long time.
Yeah. Yes, I have. What is something that you have done post-cancer that you wouldn't have done before your diagnosis?
Wow. I guess take chances. Doing the show is taking a major chance. And although I was able to get through those walls, I was hesitant. I'll tell you two quick stories. They brought Big to Broadway, and I got the first call. They wanted me to play the lead. And I took voice lessons and prepared, and the day of the audition, I didn't show up. And the producers really went batshit crazy on me and said, "What's the deal?" And I said, "I'm out of my element." Fast forward the tape, and this is a way long story that I cut down. I met Mel Brooks, and Mel Brooks and I had a long conversation, and I told him that I loved the producers and was obsessed with it and had seen it at that point like 25 times. And he said, "Well, you look like Bloom." And I said, "Well, coming from you, that's the greatest compliment ever." So he said, "I'm doing the show in Vegas. Do you want to audition for it?" I said, "Yes." So Mel Brooks set up an audition for me to audition for the producers when it was being done in Las Vegas. And he gave me the voice teacher to go to, and I took the voice lessons and sang "I Want to Be a Producer" in my head and got it all set. And the day of the audition, I didn't show up. And when I ran into Mel afterwards, he looked at me, he goes, "Really?" And I said, "You know what? I was out of my element." So twice I've had an opportunity to do theater, and twice I walked away from it. I don't walk away from anything anymore.
That is a really great story for people to hear. Because it shows your vulnerability of your fear, but look, on the other side now, you had a little talk with yourself, sort of maybe like you do pre-show, and you found the courage to step forward and do it, and whatever happens with it happens, but at least you can look back and say, "I took that chance now. I did the show," and you don't have to live with any, if you lived with regret or anything like that, you finally got the courage to take that chance.
And the first night in Bloomington, Indiana, for the first preview, I walked out on stage and couldn't remember a word of the show. So Chad, our director, said, "Okay, audience, you know, Mark's first time, let's do it again. Happened to me three times. I watched it, couldn't remember a word. So he said, you know, folks, we're going to take a little break here. And he took me backstage and he goes, you know this. I know you're nervous. I know you haven't done it in front of a live audience. We've been doing rehearsals, but you can do this. And on the fourth time, I did go out and do it. And so that fear of I'm not good enough, I'm not funny enough, I won't remember what I'm supposed to say, just all those things beat me in the head. And so when I think about starting this show in Bloomington 8 years ago to where I am now, I've grown by leaps and bounds.
Wow. That's incredible to hear. You know, because I'm sure people, someone, especially like me growing up, see you on TV and just to now hear you say, I have those struggles makes it just makes you so human. And so it's nice to hear that there's vulnerability. Because when I watch you on Double Dare, it's like, oh my gosh, look at it. It's seamless. You know, and
well, that's where I'm in my best element. People talk to me all the time now because we do 10 minutes of Double Dare in the show and people say, wow, you go right back into it, you know? And when they were writing the show and they said, do you remember the rules? And I said, do I remember the rules? You know, I'm going to ask you a question. You don't know the answer. I've been doing that for so many shows. It's in my head. It's embedded in me. So trust me, you don't need to put that in the script. I know that for it. So you know, it's fun. It's all fun. You know, you get to do what you do and enjoy it, obviously. I'm the same way. And I just hope people from our show and from this conversation realize they can accomplish anything. Just don't accept the word no, and you'll be fine.
Yes, that is great advice as well. And I have to say, I love, one of my favorite parts of the show is where you get to go on stage and do the physical challenge and answer trivia questions, and the fact that you're the one doing it, asking us. So I got to live out my Double Dare dream by coming up on stage, and I have a full confession to tell you. So before the show starts, I just want to let everybody know, audience members can put their name into a bowl, and during the show, names get picked out of the bowl to come up on stage to participate in a physical challenge. Well, my boyfriend's name actually got picked, and he didn't want to go up on stage, but he knew how much I wanted to. So he said, go up on stage as me and do it. And that's what I did. I came up, I used his name, his profession, where he worked, and it was incredible.
That's brilliant. That's hysterical. I love that. See, there you go. You figured out a way to get on, man.
Yes. And it was fantastic.
Oh, nice. So, I'm so glad to hear that.
Thank you. So I do know I have to start wrapping things up very shortly. I just want to finish two questions and then just move into a quick few questions about Double Dare. But
sure.
Since this season of my podcast is called My Entertainment Idols, who are some of your entertainment idols?
Well, growing up, Johnny Carson was a huge idol, and he started off as a magician. And I kind of patterned many of my things in my life after Johnny. Certainly a lot of stand-up comics. Dave Letterman grew up in Indianapolis, and I go back to Dave from those years. You know, Robin Williams was quite amazing. Theater-wise, I mean, certainly Brightman. Nathan Lane, to me, is phenomenal. Everything I've ever seen him do, I'm blown away by. So he definitely would be one of those people. But I think one of the hardest things to do is do stand-up comedy. It's interesting. So many comedians can do drama, but not many folks who do drama can do stand-up. It's a whole different art. And so I admire those performers who started off in the stand-up world. Michael Keaton would be one of those people who, you know, I used to do stand-up with him at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles. And boy, what a career he's had. So, anybody who's got the guts to go on stage and try and make people laugh, I'm a huge admirer of.
I love it. Well, speaking of some of your idols and celebrities, I'm going to move to some of the Double Dare questions. If you could host Celebrity Double Dare, who would you want as the fearsome four contestants to be?
Oh, wow. What a fantastic question. It's funny how many people I meet who tell me, well, I'll tell you this. So I go to Hamilton, and just before the show starts, I get tapped on the shoulder, and they said, Mr. Miranda, I heard that you were in the audience. Would you like to be with him after the show? And I went, of course. And I went back, and all I wanted to do is talk about Hamilton. He just wanted to talk about Double Dare. So I would say Lin-Manuel Miranda would be one of those people. Neil Patrick Harris would be the other one. Tina Fey And I think Amy Poehler, I think that would be one hell of a show.
Yes, that would be a brilliant show. And if you were a contestant on Double Dare, what would your team name be?
What a great question that is. Holy mackerel. I don't know. That's really a fantastic question. I guess we would be called the I Can't Believe We're Really Doing This team. And I did get a chance to do Double Dare once where Harvey and I were the contestants, and we played against two kids, and we got Jim J. Bullock to host it. And that was quite an experience. I've known Jim forever, and he was fantastic on it. So yeah, the I Can't Believe We're Actually Doing This team would be the team name.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. Well, I do need to wrap things up. So I do like to end my podcast playing off of the title, which is Burying It All with Call Me Adam. Now, we've talked a lot today, but if you could bear it all and reveal something about yourself that you haven't told anyone, what would you share with me today?
You asked some deep questions, my friend.
Thank you.
Yes. And you're quite good at this. I guess it would be the fact that I always wanted to be on Broadway. And, you know, even at this point in my life, you know, if I could play the wizard in The Wiz, that would be mind-boggling to me. I mean, that's sort of a back-of-the-head goal that I haven't really talked about to anybody. And my friend Brad Oscar just signed up for a year, so I guess got to wait for a while. But that would be something that, as much of what I'm doing now as an oh wow moment, I couldn't even imagine going out and doing something like that. And also, as I'm talking about, the fear factor in my head sort of scares me. Like, could I actually go out and deliver those goods? So that I think that would be it.
I think that is great. And we are definitely going to put it out there that we can't wait to see you on the Broadway stage. But in the meantime, I want everybody watching to go see The Life and Slimes of Mark Summers at New World Stages. You're here through June.
June 2nd.
So get your tickets. I'll have a link up on my website, callmeadam.com. And Mark, I can't thank you again for your time today and for speaking with me.
I'm applauding you. You're fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. And everybody here, you couldn't see my shirt, but here it is, The Life and Slimes of Mark Summers. So thank you again.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's Adam. Adam lives for the business of show. Callmeadam.com.